Today's episode is a simple one. Hayden's top 100 PPR rankings. Yes, you always ask for specific league settings. We're delivering them here. And what I do, I just sit here, compare Hayden's ranks to your home PPR leagues, to consensus rankings for PPR leagues. And we have a ton of talking points with that. Namely, like, he still is ranking running backs ahead of a bunch of wide receivers. Does PPR push quarterbacks down the board? A lot of strategy corner on this one. So stick around for this episode of Yahoo Fantasy Football with Josh and Hayden. You asked for it, so we deliver. Yes, top 50, maybe even a little bit more, PPR rankings for the 2026 fantasy football season. Trust me, all of you out there, not only do we have our rankings updates every single Monday of the preseason, we're going to have final rankings and tiers for every single position later on. We want to give you a little taste, Hayden, and the taste is your top 50 overall rankings for those specific PPR leagues.
Yeah, I think it's important because we'll do our positional rankings, and sometimes like some players project better in PPR, but I want to do like the overall rankings because like where I have Josh Allen is important, where do I have Brock Bowers is important, where exactly is like Derrick Henry versus Nico Collins, like those type of things I find interesting. And if we spend a lot of our summer in half PPR land, let's at least have a full episode dedicated to the very niche details. I'm not going to really get into like the exact this guy versus this guy because I know when you're on the clock, you have to make those decisions.
I did go back and watch last year's version. I always like to do that to like reset myself for these videos. You had two awesome calls early on. Now, you had Saquon Barkley ninth last year when other platforms had him second. So while ninth is still much earlier than he finished last year, people that use these PPR rankings did not end up with Saquon Barkley in drafts last year. I want to put that out there. And then you also had Trey McBride 13th overall compared to 24th. For home leagues. And I'm going to keep going back and forth on today, my job, where Hayden has someone ranked and where he's going in your home league PPRs and expert consensus rankings on top of that. Before we get into these top 50, one final question. How do you draft differently in PPR formats versus half PPR?
So that PPR stands for full point per reception. So the players that catch more receptions, I move up my rankings. And then the players that don't catch as many receptions, I move them down. That's what happens with this type of stuff. So sometimes like a slot wide receiver, Wandale, they move up my rankings. You know, I hate that, but I have to do that. And then the quarterbacks also have to move them down, which I also, by the way, absolutely hate that fantasy quarterbacks are ranked so low. But I'm trying to win. And so you'll see Josh Allen, like, you know, 10 spots lower than I would in half PPR. And then obviously do your own math for the standard format. But yeah.
Well, we do talk so much about touchdowns, and I'm not saying they don't matter in this, but maybe they matter just slightly less in this than they did before. Okay, let's dive into it. I'm going to read six names in each grouping. And we're going to go from there. The first, you have Jahmyr Gibbs, number one, Puka Nacua, second, Ja'Marr Chase, third, Bijan Robinson, fourth, Amon-Ra St. Brown, fifth, and Jackson Smith and Jigba, sixth. Obviously, Jahmyr Gibbs is your 101. I want to take you to the second and third, and we're already splitting hairs here in the top six. That's what we do. But Ja'Marr Chase is first in expert consensus PPR ranks, and Puka Nacua is third, yet you have them differently in your wide receiver ranks. Why?
Really close. I think if Puka Nacua does not come back from like this little injury in the next like couple days or so, I could move Ja'Marr Chase ahead. But by the time most of you guys are drafting, I think Puka Nacua will be my second overall player. He had 24 full PPR points per game last year. Wide receiver two was 3.4 full PPR points less than that. That was JSN. Ja'Marr Chase had a little bit of a quiet season for him. Ja'Marr Chase and Puka Nacua, when both these guys are fully healthy, the quarterbacks are healthy, these guys absolutely dominate. I think that the Davante Adams stuff, just, you know, how willing they were to trade him away this offseason and just how little production he really had between the 20s. Like, I want to read into that because Puka Nacua was the number one wide receiver last year without the red zone role. Like, what happens if he gets the red zone role? Like, we're talking about like an all-time season. So I just want to like roll, play for the upside here. We're trying to come in first, not sixth.
By the way, we got an awesome comment from George Lewis. I read all your comments for our videos about the SOAs that right now, a soft tissue injury that Puka Nacua is dealing with. He says SOAs is basically part of the hip flexor. It's unusual in that it connects to the spine diaphragm and to the femur at the bottom. You don't, quote, stretch as much as you, quote, release it. If strained, it usually means overtraining and in the front upper part of the thigh. Now, I did not second guess his work. I did not recheck it. I did not take anatomy class. Let's just take George Lewis's word for it because we know you viewers and commenters are of the most high intelligent beings out there.
Yeah, I thought it was a canal. I didn't know that it was even a body part.
Next, I'm on Rossi Brown. I did want to bring him up here because I know when we outlined our first rounds, you had JSN over Amon-Ra St. Brown and I had it flip-flopped. So is this a total flip for you, or is this specifically for PPR?
I mean, last year they caught the exact same amount of receptions per game. So I think it's, you're splitting hairs here once again. I just think that with Amon-Ra St. Brown, maybe his floor is a little bit safer just because I've seen him do this a million times before where with JSN. You lose your coordinator. Something that they talked about with the new coordinator, they want more players out in the route. You know, like that helped JSN have like a league leading targets per route run. It comes down a little bit and he can still finish as the wide receiver one this season. I'm not scaring anybody away from JSN. And then just outside of this is, you know, Christian McCaffrey and CeeDee Lamb, yes. Those type of guys I would put all in this tier. To me, I really like 1, 2, 3, Bijan and Amon-Ra, JSN. These guys are also going to crush. But to me, like Gibbs, Puka, Jamar Chase, those are the guys that can have like the beyond ludicrous seasons. And then you kind of get to this next tier.
Yeah, Amon-Ra, 100 plus catches in each of the last four seasons, 12 of 16 games in fantasy. This season will be played indoors during the fantasy season, I should say. And we know he led the NFL in red zone targets last year and has 66 red zone targets over the last 2 years. Yeah, he's my wide receiver three and your wide receiver three. And again, it's not like this six is a tier. I just want to say I'm doing this for the flow of the show. So let's jump through 7 through 12. Your seventh player is Christian McCaffrey. 8th, CeeDee Lamb. 9, Jonathan Taylor. 10, Justin Jefferson. 11, Devon Achane. And 12, Ken Walker III. I'm going to jump to the middle of this group first. Let's bring up Justin Jefferson, okay? Because I went on Matt Harmon's show last week via the Yahoo Network, and he has Justin Jefferson outside of round one. Now, we're talking about half-point PPR here, so maybe that's different. But then I went on Kevin O'Connor's show yesterday with Justin Boone, and he also has Justin Jefferson outside of round one. So do those two statements make you feel anything?
Yeah. What am I supposed to like talk crap about my coworkers and just disagree with them? Is that what you're trying to get me to do?
No. It made me question. Think back to, okay, I have had Justin Jefferson cemented as a top 12 player this entire fantasy process. Yeah. And it didn't even occur to me that other people would have him, you know, 14th or lower. 16th or wherever they have him. I mean, I have him 9th overall.
Yeah, so this is to me where the tier break exists. It's after those first 9 players. And then in like half PPR, I do have JSN like 16th because I want to get all those running backs in there. But I do think that Justin Jefferson is going to get spammed the ball. The Vikings offense last year could not be quite as pass heavy. And obviously the production and efficiency wasn't there. But historically, KOC wants to pass the ball like crazy. And I think that's exactly what they're going to do this season. I feel pretty good that Kyler Murray is going to start most of the season, if not the entire thing. And I think that this will be a very productive offense. That division is completely stacked up. Dome games for him as well. Some of the defenses in that division, the Lions, the Bears, the Packers, without Micah Parsons, like this team's going to be in some shootouts. And Justin Jefferson at one point was in consideration for the 101. So I think in full PPR, I'm going to break ties in favor of him. Plus, I know for a fact I'm going to get an awesome running back early in round 2. So if I go Justin Jefferson, I get to pick whichever running back. Where if I pick the running back and now I get sniped with Justin Jefferson, now I'm like obviously just going to pick another running back, which I'm fine with, but you know, just more options.
Yeah, this is your show, but I do want to just bring in my rankings of this too, because I think we're on the same wavelength here with Justin Jefferson, that he's still, you know, owned wide receiver 4 in terms of team target share last year, wide receiver 5 in terms of air yard share. He still had 16 end zone targets, but just 2 touchdowns. And so to me, nothing about the usage that is warranted of the 10th or 9th overall player here has been lost. It was just the quarterbacks of JJ McCarthy and Brosmer throwing in the football. And that's like really it. And so I really do think that we are still getting a reduced price on an offense that just a couple seasons ago was 9th in scoring and 8th in scoring.
From 2022 to 2024, if you remove the Josh Dobbs, Jaren Hall games, he averaged over 100 receiving yards per game. I mean, it's ridiculous stuff.
Maybe I'm off base, but I just view Justin Jefferson as a round 1 player here. And then, pairing him with the running back in round 2 is delightful. You have a bunch of running backs in this tier, though, and that even continues to the next grouping. But here, again, CMC at 7, Devon Achane 11, Ken Walker III at 12, and obviously Jonathan Taylor at 9. Quickly on CMC. Okay, we talked about it on Monday, but now that Kyle Shanahan says that his absence and tightness is not contract related, 1, do you believe him? And 2, how many more days does he have to sit out for us to like readjust this ranking and move him down?
I think the problem with the CMC moving him down is how many more players can I move him down where you're getting to the point where you're sacrificing like league winning ability?
Great point.
I think CeeDee Lamb, you can make that case. Jonathan Taylor, especially in half PPR, I have those guys flipped. Obviously, CMC catches so many more passes than JT that I'm holding firm here. But once you get to, like, you know, Devon Achane, Kenneth Walker stuff, now you're like really trying to roll the dice on those guys surpassing CMC. So I think you can only move them down so much. I'm trying to come in first place, which is difficult to do. You got to like get one of the guys that really matter. And obviously CMC has a decent chance of doing that.
Yeah, no one cares in your league last year who finished fourth or fifth. You know, like you want to win, and you win by drafting Christian McCaffrey if he's healthy, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's exactly what happened last year, where he was the best fantasy asset in fantasy football. And a lot of people didn't want to draft him last year. Now, again, we're having slightly different summers. Albeit, let's remember, heading into week one, everyone was at panic station 11 because there were some red flags heading into it. And he still played, what, all 17 games and was freaking fantastic. So I am still holding the line here on CMC.
I have one quick note on Devon Achane. I know we'll speed this thing up. But I was looking at exactly how many of his passes last year were checkdowns versus schemed up passes. Almost all of them were schemed up passes. So that was one thing where it's like, oh, is Malik Willis going to check the ball down at the same rate? Tua was not like checking the ball down to Devon. It was swing passes, screen passes, Texas routes.
It was a lot of the escort screens. And yes. I haven't seen that from like Bobby Slowick in the past, albeit he was part of this coaching staff with Mike McDaniel last year.
It just made me felt better like that. So much of this was like, man, and I watch all the games. Like I always remember how many like first read targets that he gets. But like it was in the data, most of his receptions come within like 2.5 seconds from the ball being snapped. This is not like Tua buying time, sitting back, and then finally hitting the check down. Like Tua gets the ball in 3 seconds. And I'm just looking around that room. There's nobody else to throw the ball to. Like he's going to get plenty of receptions this year. I think people are overthinking that. Like if you were in charge of the Dolphins, who are you throwing the football to? I'm throwing it to Devon Achane.
Very fair. I will also add, Bobby Slowick is not Mike McDaniel. So sometimes it's not as easy as we think it is just to copy and paste versus, I mean, and if that was the case, then every single great coordinator that left a team, they would just be able to repeat exactly what they did the previous season.
Totally agree. Last year, looking full PPR, he averaged 20.1 full PPR points per game. So like there's room for him to fall and pay off this area. No one drafts him in this range. So like, I'm not fighting you. He gets drafted like 18th overall. I'm just saying like, don't triple count what's happened this offseason. Like we're in a good spot.
Just final point, Ken Walker, you have him 12th, and he's going 19th in home PPR league. So I don't think we need to repeat ourselves again there, but he has shown much more receiving work than, let's say, the Seahawks allowed him to do early on in his career, and maybe even more so last season too. So love K9 at 12th overall. Okay, next group. You have Saquon Barkley 13th, Chase Brown 14th, James Cook 15th, Brock Bowers 16th, Malik Nabers, 17th, put a pin in that one. And Ashton Jeanty, 18th overall. So quickly on Saquon. Right now, he's 26th overall in PPR expert consensus rankings.
Whoa.
He is, though, drafted 14th in home league, so right around this spot. So this is something we'll get to in a moment, but you are just straight up still ranking running backs higher at your PPR rankings here versus other people have kind of wide receivers cutting this grouping off.
Yeah, I think this becomes really close in full PPR where I don't think it's that much of a debate in half PPR. I do just want to be buying in on some of these running backs because it's so hard to find running backs that are going to project for the amount of points that this group is going to. Not that it's like easy to find like the next Chris Olave, but if you're looking at, you know, the round four selections, like there's still a lot of good wide receivers. So I think it's just a little bit rarer to find this type of running back in drafts. And we'll see with Saquon Barkley and James Cook, you got new offensive coordinators. Like they're not going to like lose rushing snaps. There's a chance that these guys catch a couple more passes per game, more goal line reps. Like you just never know. Both of those offenses use the tush push. Like things could kind of break their way. And this is where they have been for like last couple of years, including Chase Brown whenever Joe Burrow has been healthy. So I feel good about all these running backs. To me, it's just more who's available in rounds 3 and 4, 5 and 6, and like some of those running backs in like the 5-6 turn, like they make me really nervous. And there's still wide receivers that I like in that range. I just like the builds more if I at least get one running back at the turn here.
Okay, Brock Bowers, let's go to him. He is your 16th overall player. He's also 16 in consensus rankings, but if we look at home league ADPs for PPR, Brock Bowers is going 22nd. So once again, no matter the format, you're ahead of market here on Brock.
Yep. As long as his knee checks out, he's going to dominate. And I like my elite tight ends more in full PPR because it's hard to get the same target shares. Like you can get some guys to like catch a bunch of touchdowns, like your Mark Andrews types. Like those guys are not going to have the same reception totals as the elite guys. And then in obviously redraft versus best ball, you have to actually put them in your starting lineup rather than just take like the hindsight touchdown game. So I move Brock Bowers up a little bit, and hopefully I don't see that dang piece of tape on his knee the rest of the training camp.
If people use your rankings, they're going to get Malik Nabers. That's a fact. 17th for you. He's 25th in consensus rankings for PPR, and he's 29th in PPR home league drafts. So I know often you just draft by your rankings overall. Mm-hmm. Maybe if you're in this like 17-ish territory, you can wait for him to circle back. But it does stand out that you would maybe just flat out take him 17th overall as well.
Yeah, I'm getting more bullish by the week on his availability for week one. And not even just that. It's like if he's playing in week one, he's probably himself by week six or whatever. And then in redraft, you don't have to come in first and second place in the regular season. Like you just have to come in what top six most leagues make the playoffs. And at that point, Malik Nabers could be looking like a round one type of player by the end of the season. So just looking at like the depth chart for the Giants, like it's not pretty. Like if Malachi Fields is going to be the second guy at wide receiver, Malik Nabers might have a 36% target share this year. Like I don't think that it's that crazy to envision. You're obviously rolling the dice on health, but if he did not have this injury, I would rank him probably right next to CeeDee Lamb.
Okay. Love that. We've talked a lot about Malik Nabers, but as you said, while there's some negative news about a whole bunch of other fantasy assets in training camp, it has truly only been positive news so far about Malik Nabers, and that's exactly what we want to see. Next group, all right? 19th overall, you have Derrick Henry. He is going 38th overall in consensus rankings out there for PPR. And I don't get it, but I want to put myself in their perspective, okay? Because I think from their perspective, the 69 other consensus rankings that I pulled together to make the ECRs here, is this the kind of player that people just push down in PPR leagues because he doesn't catch passes, whereas he should actually be still tremendously valuable because he still scores touchdowns?
I mean, he averaged over 16 fantasy points in full PPR last year, and Lamar Jackson didn't play.
Yep.
There's no math-based reason that he should be ranked in the 30s, even when counting for full PPR. I've done the numbers. Everyone else, other people I trust have done the numbers. It makes no sense. You are quadruple counting this at that point. He can finish with zero receptions this year, and I would still take him 24th overall.
I did triple check it, and he is actually even going after, ranked after Drake May in consensus rankings out there for PPR, so after a quarterback.
In the betting markets, he's projected for the most rushing touchdowns in the NFL. And last year, he averaged 94 rushing yards per game. If he catches zero passes and he averages 95 rushing yards and he scores 12 touchdowns again, that's how you win.
If you want to check out our half and full PPR rankings, they're in the description down below. Those are free. Those are on Yahoo. If you want to take your game to another level, though, we have the Ultra Playbook over on Yahoo. That's part of Yahoo Plus on top of it. I mean, that has like 150-page document.
It's
just
awesome
to help you dominate your drafts. It has fades, it has targets, it has tiers, it has really everything that you need. And also includes many other sports and not just NFL fantasy football. So go and check out the Ultra Playbook. Okay, like I said, you have this glut of running backs ahead of wide receivers, whereas many other people who are ranking for PPR have the wide receivers ahead of the running backs. And that stands out here with Drake London. He's going 17th in your home PPR leagues. He's actually 10th overall, a 10th in full PPR consensus rankings out there. So I know you don't have even as much hesitation about Drake London as maybe I do, but is there anything you want to add to having him after the running backs?
No, I mean, last year he averaged 16.8 full PPR points per game. That was like basically exactly what Derrick Henry did. This is about the right range to me. And I think that the Falcons, like you have concerns about just the entire output of the offense. I still think that his floor is pretty dang high because of how he operates. But, you know, new coordinator, new depth pieces, you know, you just never know exactly. I'm not going to say anything else negative about Drake London. It's as far as I'll go.
Maybe I'll try to get in your brain and put it in a way, and you tell me if I'm off base. Okay. If I'm looking at where people have him as 10th overall, right? And then after that, you have Devon Achane, Ken Walker, Saquon Barkley, Chase Brown, James Cook ranked ahead of him. I think you believe that all of those running back names have a pathway to scoring as like the running back three this season. And maybe that's more difficult for like Drake London to be the wide receiver three or something so far this year.
I think it's harder to find running backs that could average 17 fantasy points per game. And I think that there's more wide receivers that I can envision averaging, you know, 14, 15, 16. I mean, we'll get to like all those guys, but like there's so many of them, like all the way down to, you know, Terry McLaurin, Mike Evans, if he stays healthy, like those type of guys. DJ Moore can have a crazy season. I kind of just run out of running back names that I feel like could actually do that. Like, you know, I'm not sure if Quinshon Judkins and Bucky Irving could actually do that.
Yeah, especially in PPR, you're going to enjoy drafting wide receivers more than you enjoy drafting running backs once we hit rounds 3+.
Yes.
Let's put it that way.
Yes.
Okay. George Pickens is your 21st player. AJ Brown is your 22nd player. By the way, he's 12th in consensus rankings for PPR. And then let's go to Nico Collins next, because this is exactly where he's going in drafts. That's about 25th. We've got some news here. Jayden Higgins, the second-year wide receiver out of Iowa State, is out for the season in joint practices with a torn ACL. So the big question is, who do they turn to? Like, could it be Jalen Noel, who also was Jayden Higgins' teammate in college? He's a pure slot player. He just returned to practice yesterday after hamstring and toe injuries after missing for weeks, if not months. Tank Dell is still being ramped up. Xavier Hutchinson is still on the roster, but the number one signal here is that it's a substantial drop-off from Jayden Higgins to whoever the wide receiver two is going to be on this team next year.
I have Nico Collins. I moved him up to 16th overall. He's my wide receiver 7. I have him ahead of the Brock Bowers, Neighbors, London, all of those guys. First of all, Nico Collins, just by himself, you can throw him inside the top 5 and just watching the games. Like, that guy's incredible. They have no other option. They have to throw the ball to him now in the screen game stuff. That was like the one complaint that we had in our last couple of videos with Nico Collins. I was listening to the beat reporters, and Jalen Noel is ramping up from returning. He's still wearing a non-contact injury. He's going to be cleared by week 1, but I think what you said is true. They view him as a slot-only player. This team's going to have a lot of 2 wide receiver sets. They might even do the 3 wide or 3 tight end stuff because they drafted some other guys. They still have Dalton Schultz. All the reporters are like, Dalton Schultz is clearly the number 2 target on the team. They think Xavier Hutchinson is going to be the actual number 2 wide receiver. And maybe they bring in a Darius Slayton, Kayshon Booty type. Those guys don't earn targets. Like, Jayden Higgins is actually going to earn targets. He can actually be a threat underneath. Everyone else that they're going to bring in there is going to be a downfield threat that's not going to be schemed up touches. I think that Nico Collins is going to walk to a 30% plus target share this year, and he is way too good to be fading him. So of all the guys in this tier, I feel better about his floor, and I think that his ceiling becomes incredible because they're not going to have any other option to get explosives. Like, David Montgomery is not going to get you explosives. Xavier Hutchinson is not going to give you explosives. Kayshon Booty is going to get 3 targets per game if he ends up on this team. It's all going to go to Nico Collins. So I feel very optimistic.
I'm smiling because when I went back and watched last year's video, you had Nico Collins as like a top 10 player. And so we're almost right back there, man. Maybe by week 1, you'll have Nico Collins as a top 10 player. But I think on paper and the underlying metrics could have pointed you in that direction too. Like, he was 26th in red zone production for fantasy last year, despite having the 8th best opportunity. I mean, he had 14 end zone targets and only scored 4 touchdowns.
So bad.
So hopefully, like, positive regression, which is a term that people love, hits in his favor this year.
Agree.
And there's nothing, and Hayden knows this, nothing I love more than rankings changes on the fly. So Weaves, you're going to have to do some editing work, hopefully, as we go along. And it's not going to be a clean pocket of 6 for each name we keep going through here. Okay, so we talked about George Pickens and AJ Brown. That now brings Chris Olave to 24th overall, right? He's going 28th in home PPR leagues out there. He's another one, and I hate to term it this way, who could actually benefit from an injury next to him as well. He was even better when Rashid Shaheed got traded last season. So Chris Olave, talk to me.
He was 5th in targets per game. He was the wide receiver 7 on wide receiver 6 usage in full PPR. I think that the most likely scenario is Jordan Tyson returns after the bye week, because you got MetLife turf in week 6. You have a France game in week seven, then the bye week in week eight. So I think you're going to have the full first four, full seven games with Olave by himself. And there's like no way you can't rank him inside the top 10 for that. And then we'll see about Jordan Tyson after that. You know, we'll see. So this team's first in pace. Chris Olave is very good. I've kept him at the bottom of this tier of wide receivers because he has the most, I would say, just, you know, infrastructure. Like if something happens to Tyler Shuck or just something doesn't materialize, slash he has the injury history, blood clots, concussions, some soft tissues type of injuries in his past. I just moved him at the bottom of that. I think on paper, like just watching him play, I think he's like very much in this range on tape, and his production was there as well. So there's no reason not to have him this high.
Yeah. Wide receiver 8 in terms of team target percentage last year, wide receiver 4 in terms of air yards. And we outlined it on the show yesterday that there is this 2-month timeline for Jordan Tyson, but you and I don't think he plays immediately a full complement of snaps once he returns based on how they slow played this after his, you know, let's say off and on draft process too, just kind of nursing this injury. And by the way, Bryce Lance got wide receiver 2 run yesterday for this team as Devon Velley was out.
Yeah. And Bryce Lance, he needs some work in my opinion, but
he needs some work. Next, 25th, Amarion Hampton. Despite you ranking running backs high, that does not include Amarion Hampton. He is 16th in home PPR leagues. You and consensus, though, have him in this range. He also is dealing with an injury. The Chargers just lost their new center in Tyler Biadasz. Now, maybe fortunately for them, they took a college center and were looking at him at left guard in the second round in Jake Slaughter. Mm-hmm. And so you would expect him to fill in here at center. And that center spot is a pivotal position for Mike McDaniel and his rushing scheme. Just look back at what Miami center did last year. Aaron Brewer might be the best in the league.
Right. I think this just comes down to how much faith do I have in Omarion Hampton being a true superstar. I think it's possible. I also think it's, you know, he has some things to improve on. And I do think that Keaton Mitchell is going to get involved a little bit. I think that Kamani Vidal might do like a LaQuint Allen type of thing, which doesn't matter too much, but we can nitpick things in the first and second round here. So I just think all of those wide receivers that we just went through, I feel very good about their floor ceiling combination. Omarion Hampton obviously can finish as the most valuable player in fantasy. Like that's within his range about outcomes. I just think others believe in that upside case happening more often than I do.
Yeah. Next week we have a show on the players we disagree on most. Maybe Amarion Hampton fits in there.
Probably.
And it's not like we disagree on him as a player. We kind of seen eye to eye. Mm-hmm. I'm just valuing the situation even more. And I'll save all my notes for that. How about that? Sweet. I'll save all
there
my notes for that.
There we go.
Okay. 26, you have Jeremiah Love. 27, you have Trey McBride. 28th, you have Teteroa McMillan. And that brings us to 29th in Jalen Waddle, who is drafted 48th overall in home league PPRs leagues out there. Sleeping?
They're sleeping. He's back at practice. He just apparently burnt Pat Surtain for a 60-yard touchdown in practice in full pad. So he's ready to go. Do not have to worry about the offseason injury with him. This is an offense that throws the most screens in football under Bo Nix and Sean Payton. As a rookie, he caught 104 passes, so the PPR upside is proven out. He has been one of the most efficient players in the NFL. I think since 2022, when Tua has thrown him passes, he has the highest EPA per target in football. Offensive line is really good, and I just don't see how this one goes sideways, really. Like, he can get injured, but so could everyone else in this tier. And I can see Jalen Waddle being a second-round pick next season.
Over 4 yards per route run on play action last season, the Broncos had the third most passes off play action. And if you look at it, Jalen Waddle ran 442 routes last season compared to Cortland Sutton, who ran 664. So let's just add, you know, a cool 220 routes onto Jalen Waddle's plate and see what happens.
That'd be party time.
That would be party time. Now, the thing I wanted to bring up here is, you know, we do all these shows. I did not realize you straight up rank Jalen Waddle ahead of Devontae Smith, who's your 30th overall player. Why is that?
I think that Devontae Smith's going to get the ball obviously more than he has before, but I think there is just a difference in, I think, a potential for, like, you know, 100 plus receptions, like that type of season, I think, leans more towards Jalen Waddle. I think in half PPR, probably goes Smitty, but it's really close. And then I think that Teteroa is like also in that bucket where I think they're going to have to pass the ball a little bit more than they want to, just based off of like just the depth of the team in general. The Panthers like don't look that great to me on paper, and T-Mac was playing inside the slot, and I think that he can be a reception type of guy. It's like these are the the group of wide receivers I feel pretty good about. Like, they can catch 100 passes. And I think Devontae Smith would have like a different type of season to get there. And that's a little bit harder to bank on the full PPR versus I think Waddle's going to be on pace to catch 100 passes.
Next group, Zay Flowers, 31st. Breece Hall, 32nd. That brings us to Colson Loveland, 33rd overall. He's going 43rd in home PPR leagues. We've outlined this a lot. I mean, beginning in week 15, they played over half their offensive snaps with 2+ tight ends on the field during 5 of their final 6 games. They only did that once over the first 13 games. And his yards per route run in 2+ tight end sets is outrageous. And if you want to go to 13 and think that this team uses Sam Roush, guess what? 4.66 yards per route run and 53% of the team's market share in those environments. So I love that you are 10 spots higher in Colson Loveland here.
His last 4 games of the season, including the playoffs, 22, 25, 24, and then 10 full PPR points per game. At tight end, that's like impossible to do. He was 21 years old. We're looking at a future All-Pro. This is going to be like the next Travis Kelce. I think that he's got the chance to be the best tight end in the NFL, and this Bears offense is going to go absolutely berserk. They keep losing defensive players. So there's going to be plenty of passes to go around in Chicago.
34th, you have Garrett Wilson. Let's go to 35, T. Higgins, because he's 41st in home PPR leagues. It's not as big of a disconnect here, but I also kind of view T. Higgins as the wide receiver Derrick Henry in ways, because people kind of think of him as a sideline ball winner, and that's about it, and maybe downgrade because of pure receptions, and think of him as just a downfield and touchdown machine, which, by the way, is good. But let's also remember that the last time he played with Joe Burrow for 17 games, he was the wide receiver 4 in points per game.
Yeah, he's played 39 games with Burrow healthy since 2022. He's averaging 15 full PPR points. That's wide receiver 14, a wide receiver 15 usage. I got him lower than that. I don't have a good reason to put him lower than that, but this is how the rankings work out. So I think that he's an awesome pick in the 4th round.
Like, PPR scams kind of get in the back of our head when we draft PPR. And again, T. Higgins is not that, but he did average over 6 catches and 76 yards with Joe Burrow. So maybe that's not 10 catches, but it's still 6 catches for 76 yards with Joe Burrow, compared to last season that was down to 4 catches on average and 56 yards per game.
Yeah, I love when we're drafting players pretty much near their baseline, and he has like the obvious contingent upside where if something happens to Jamar Chase, you just take him next to where CeeDee Lamb and Justin Jefferson go in the 1st round, just like call it a day. It's like, it's hard to get up to that tier of player, and he has that potential.
And it's been interesting to see Bengals fans react to the under center stuff after one final preseason game or first preseason game, and they get like the all-22 with it, where a lot of these under center play action passes with extra protection then end up only being 2-man routes down the field with maybe Chase Brown leaking out after his assignment is accomplished and no one's blitzing. And those 2 men running down the field are Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, and that's it. Like, those are the 2 options.
Yep. He's going to get the ball a lot.
Yes. Love that. Okay. Travis Achane. It is Achane. He asked for it. Is 36th overall for you. That's ahead of consensus 48th. That's ahead of home PPR leagues 40th overall. We got news today that Alvin Kamara is going to be out with an MCL. I know you're not double counting this because we've already had the conversation about, hey, Kamara might have owned some of the passing down work, and 35 of 36 Achane's, you know, receptions were on 1st and 2nd down last year. But at the same time, we are going from a backfield split with Alvin Kamara down back to like the Devin Neals of the world.
Right. We'll see. I think Kamara's going to be back eventually, but just like another reminder, Alvin Kamara at this point, like, you just really can't factor him much at all. I moved him up like ahead of like the Josh Jacobs, Javonte, Kyren guys that we talked about, but he's firmly in this tier, somebody I want to draft a bunch of. I think on Achane's side, I think it's the best offensive line he's ever played behind. It's the fastest offensive environment he's ever played in. It's a home dome environment on top of that. Like, there's a lot of things like on the positive end for Travis Achane, plus they paid him a ton of money to be the lead back. So like, every single time I hear Alvin Kamara this, that, like, I just plug my ears, like, don't care.
Here's a crazy stat for Reeves that just popped out when going through it all. Travis Achane led all players last season in fantasy points scored when the drive started in the opponent's side of the field, which is kind of a Jaguars turnover rate stat at 82.2. Yeah. The next closest running back was Jonathan Taylor at 52.4. So Travis Achane got an extra 30 points basically from the Jaguars dominating in the turnover differential last season.
Yeah, he's one of these guys. He averaged over 15 fantasy points and expected fantasy points in full PPR. And like he's not thought of as a PPR guy. 15 fantasy points is pretty good.
Let's move on. The quarterback conversation, because 37th overall, you have Josh Allen. He is your quarterback one, but he's going 23rd in home PPR leagues. He's going 27th in expert consensus rankings right now. So why 10 spots even below that? Does PPR simply push quarterbacks down even more for you?
It does. So this is where he's ranked in fantasy points over replacement per game, which is how I compare players across positions. And when I do that in half PPR, he's been the 30th, 18th, 30th, and 19th overall player in the last four seasons. In full PPR, you would discount that about a round or so. And then I look at the players around him and who do I feel like really comfortable drafting ahead of. It's the guys we talked about. And then Javonte, Jacobs, Kyren Williams. I think maybe if I was on the clock, I would consider those type of guys. And then you kind of get to a tier where like I just don't feel comfortable with the floor and I'll just take my Josh Allen points and try to win my league with finding some upside in the other picks. So this is about the range. I can't justify going earlier than this though.
We've talked about how with Joe Brady at the helm of the entire organization and how they're going to play, that's likely going to change the dropback rate, which was previously 31st, 25th, and 30th. Mm-hmm. That was attached to Sean McDermott. I do wonder though, Hayden, let's say they drop back more. Does that move Josh Allen away from being like the short yardage must own quarterback now? Like he led the NFL with 13 rushing touchdowns inside the 10 yard line.
I would keep calling those plays. They seem to work. You know?
They do. But that again is the rushing aspect.
Yeah.
And getting 4 points for a passing touchdown is different than 6 points for a rushing score.
What does happen though, when you call more dropbacks, the scrambles are more effective than like a quarterback designed run.
Yes.
And if they're calling more pass plays, like his rushing numbers could actually like, you would think they're for sure going to go down. It could like not matter that much because he can be scrambling like a madman. And the pass plays might work more, when you have DJ Moore versus, Josh Palmer / Brandon Cooks, and then Dalton Kincaid in theory can stay healthy for an entire season. So like this could easily be the best season of Josh Allen's career.
Javonte Williams is 38th. Josh Jacobs, 39th. Kyren Williams, 40th. This one's low in comparison to me. Maybe we'll talk about that next week. And then you have Emeka Egbuka over Ladd McConkey, 41st and 42nd. I mean, Hayden, we talked 24 hours ago about Emeka Egbuka's turf toe. And I thought we exited hand in hand, arm in arm, in unison, that he would be at the end of this tier of wide receivers. But no, you still have him above Ladd.
I just think that Emeka had, like, if he wasn't injured, I probably would have had him by Devontae Smith. So I have like a full round discount from that turf toe injury. They seem to be confident that he's going to be out there in week one. I'm not saying that's going to be a guarantee. If he misses week one, could you guys not find a freaking wide receiver to put in your lineup in the first week of the season? I hope you guys can. So I don't care about it too much. Obviously, this is the type of thing that kind of lingers. I discounted him from that. There's a lot of positives for Emeka, including the role he's going to be in. It's the same exact role that Cooper Kupp, won the triple crown in. And he played a lot of outside on the ball downfield role last year. It's not the perfect role for him. And he had some moments, struggled in some other moments. He's going to the exact role that I want him to be in. And that offensive line is pretty sick. So I can only drop him down so far.
For Ladd, I just want to call this to your attention, okay? You are well below market on Amarin Hampton, and you're actually below market now on Ladd McConkey by 9 spots. How does that feel with Justin Herbert as the quarterback and Mike McDaniel calling plays?
Not the greatest, but I also then look at the offensive line injuries.
You are basically fading the LA Chargers in drafts right now.
Well, I think we're going to do our top 100. I did not get Keaton Mitchell into the top 100, but it was dang close.
Okay.
It was dang
close. So Keaton Mitchell is your pathway into the Chargers this year is what you're saying.
Trey Harris, Charlie Kohler, it's all these type of guys. To be serious, I do think that Ladd McConkey has tons of upside. I would not be that surprised if he came in just a hair below in total snaps because of this offense and just how they rotate players in and out. I don't like having a rookie center. And then Rashawn Slater, by the way, they're saying it's not a big deal, but he hasn't practiced in about 2 weeks coming off a torn patella, which is like one of the hardest injuries to come back from. And let's say he does come back. Are we sure he's going to be the All-Pro? Like maybe he is. That'd be awesome. But maybe this offensive line is like not as good as we were hoping a month ago.
Okay, let's run through until the top 50. First, you have Rashee Rice, 43rd. He's going 26th in home PPR league. So again, you're basically saying that Rashee Rice is done, so he's washed this season.
Yep.
Okay, that one's more simple. Okay. We'll move on.
Everything's relative. Short answer, yes.
DeAndre Swift, 44th. I mean, he doesn't get enough attention.
Agree.
We think he is kind of being drafted at his floor with how this team is managing their rushing department and how they specialized runs for him last year. As an individual, he probably looked more physical and aggressive than he has in the past. And
yeah,
something already happened to Kalman Ungai. If that carries over into the season, then DeAndre Swift has even more upside here.
Right. I think that this is coming maybe a little hot, but there's kind of a wide receiver cliff where like you're hoping they turn into like upside wide receiver twos, but you just don't feel comfortable about it. So I think that we're kind of in a tier break where I have just DeAndre Swift at the top. But it's one of the reminders is if something happens to Kalman Ungai, like why wouldn't he be, you know, Breece Hall, Travis Achane, if not even higher? Like, could he not be Omarion Hampton? Like, we're excited about the Bears as we are with the Chargers. And I don't think that Omarion Hampton's for sure that much better than DeAndre Swift. So yeah, he's in the committee, but we'll get to like the next wide receivers. You're envisioning things like returning to form or like they're actually breaking out. So we're kind of in a soft spot in drafts.
Yeah, Swift is going 49th in PPR leagues and then I think is ranked 53rd. In consensus rankings right now. Okay, I want to stay with the Bears because you have Rome Odunze, 45th overall. He's going 61st in home leagues, 56th in consensus rankings. Mm-hmm. We've already talked about this at length with Harmon, that you have him over Luther Burden. This continues to be one of your flag plants of the season.
Yeah, luckily we don't have to draft Rome Odunze this high, but it was surprising to me to see him being 22nd in targets per game last year. Like, you don't think of Rome Odunze as like some like PPR guy because they have not connected on many of these passes. That's equally Caleb Williams' fault as Rome Odunze. But if that gets sorted out, I do think that he can catch a bunch of passes, maybe in an underrated way. If you go back and watch him, I'm glad that you and Matt both agreed with me. They would get him in motion and like they weren't like manufacturing screens to him, but they were like manufacturing him on the move for first read targets for like not complete explosives, but like for like 15 yard chunk plays. They did that a lot with Rome Odunze, and they did draft him 10th overall or somewhere inside the top 10. So I think there's like an underrated, this guy can catch a bunch of passes because the Bears are going to be in shootouts every single week. And Ben Johnson wants to set the record for most points this season. And we've only talked about Bears in the 30s and 40s overall. So there's a chance that all these guys do get home.
Parker Washington, you have 46th. I mean, we are both in on Parker Washington as the Jags wide receiver one. And it's not just that. You're nearly 30 spots above ADP here, 17 spots ahead of consensus rankings. We've talked so much about Parker Washington. Hopefully people understand where we're coming from. And if not, we'll do it some more in the next coming weeks. You have DJ Moore, 47th. Let's talk about Cam Scataboo here at 48th overall. Your thoughts on the Najee Harris signing?
I think it matters just a little bit. I think it matters more for, you know, Devin Singletary, Tyrone Tracy, those guys where I don't think that you can even draft Tyrone Tracy at this point. I actually moved Najee Harris ahead of Tyrone Tracy straight up. I don't think that Najee's probably going to be that great at football anymore. It's coming like off of his injuries. He's already averaging like 3-point-something yards per carry. I will say this, the Giants, if you looked at how they played football in that preseason game, if you've read any quotes from either Scadabo, Dart, or the coaching staff, they're going to run the ball like absolute crazy. And you saw it with fullbacks, Patrick Ricard's out there, multiple tight end sets, not including Isaiah Likely, Chris Manhurst and Theo Johnson types, Francis Malinoa with a top 10 pick at right guard. This team's going to be fully focused on Malik Nabers and then the running back. And I think that Cam Scataboo did enough last year to make me feel confident that Najee Harris was more about the rest of these guys. And it's like good insurance for them to have because I'm not sure how much they trust, you know, Singletary and Tracy.
Yeah, we talk so much about Malik Nabers, but the Manhurts, Patrick Ricard, Malachi Fields usage, as well as the insert blocking that we talked about in preseason week one, tells me that this team is going to run the hell out of the football. Now, it's also on my radar that literally all offseason, the beat writers said that the Giants were in on bringing in a running back. It was from Ken Walker to Achan to Jeremiah Love and all these conversations. And I think also a beat writer even mentioned that they were going to make a move at that position to varying degrees prior to the season, you know, a couple weeks ago in one of his pieces. So sure, Najee Harris isn't a glowing name and they didn't trade for anyone. But he has a history with Greg Roman here, who was like the de facto run game coordinator.
Yes.
They said that he needs to get in game shape. It certainly looked like that as well. But I don't think this is a nothing burger for Cam Scottabill.
It's not a nothing burger. I had him ahead of DeAndre Swift, for example. So I moved him down, you know, a half round or so. And at the same time, in full PPR last year, Cam Scottabill was the RB10. That includes the first week where he wasn't even the starter. He caught three passes per game last year. And I think he's pretty dang good at it. And then watching him, I thought he was actually cutting and running through people in the preseason game to the point where I would not have been able to tell you that he's coming off an injury based off of what I saw. So he's ahead of schedule. I think that he's on pace to hold down this role.
Luther Burden at 49 and Christian Watson at 50 round out that top group. I mean, Watson's going 69th in home leagues. He's one of our favorite clicks on the board regardless. We've talked about that enough. Okay, it sounds like you want to go beyond 50. So let's go hyperspeed with this. And I might read these in the next 10 groupings, okay, and only come up with one name, okay? So 51st, you have Jameson Williams. 52nd, you have Terry McLaurin. Then Tyler Warren, Mike Evans, 54, Devontae Adams, 55, Quinshon, David Montgomery, 56, 57, Lamar Jackson, 58, Bucky Irving, 59, and Bashaud Tutin, 60. I want to call your attention. I'm shocked you have Jameson Williams ahead of Terry McLaurin, ahead of Mike Evans, and ahead of Devontae Adams here in full PPR. I was going to bring up Tyler Warren's name. However, scrolling Twitter while you're talking, sorry about that. I apologize. He limped off practice today, holding his groin in 11-on-11 activity.
I mean, this is insane what's happening in August right now. To speak on JMO, he is not like obviously Mr. PPR, but I think this offense is going to go absolutely crazy out of necessity. And I will say I'm a little bit nervous that Mike Evans limps off and has tightness every single practice. And I'm a little bit nervous that the Rams wanted to trade away Devontae Adams. The last time they wanted to do that with some wide receivers, it was Cooper Kupp and Allen Robinson. Maybe Sean McVay is seeing things. I had to keep Devontae Adams this high because of what he did last year. I mean, he was still the wide receiver 10 last year in full PPR, which is like not exactly like his bread and butter at this point. So like,
and 75% of that was red zone touchdowns.
Absolutely. So, you know, I dropped him 20 spots down from where he finished last year. That feels appropriate, but still like it doesn't make me feel great. And then all those running backs that you just listed, I don't think any of them are screaming like catch a ton of passes this season. Maybe Tutin can kind of get there. But the rest of those guys, I think that they have other backs in their backfield that they'll throw the ball to. And those offenses aren't like total elite units either.
Okay. 61 through 70. Jadarian Price, Jalen Warren, Sam Laporta, Tucker Kraft, then DK Metcalf, and a string of quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And Jalen Hurts, 66, Joe Burrow, 67, Drake May, 68, Jane Daniels, 69, and we close out this group. Let's just do 70 and 71 together because that's Ramondre Stevenson and Trevion Henderson. I mean, the name that pops out to me is Jalen Warren. I mean, we have two Steelers here with Jalen Warren and DK Metcalf. DK is well above ADP here for you.
Right. So I think that offensive line for Pittsburgh is like pretty rock solid, and McCarthy does play with like a little bit of pace, and they do pass the ball a little bit more than what we're kind of used to with what we saw in Pittsburgh the last couple of years. Like maybe there's a little bit of a discount. I'm not like going out of my way to draft DK Metcalf. I thought that the tight ends and quarterbacks here were notable. In half PPR, I would have like Laporta and Kraft after those quarterbacks, but in full PPR, I have them ahead. I think like that's like the difference of, you know, they catch 70 passes this year. Like that's how you can kind of make the math work. Sam Laporta, I think, is going to go crazy. You bring up the Drew Petzing stuff. Like I think there's very much that's in play. And then Tucker Kraft, he's practicing. You know, that's awesome. So good news.
Yeah. And as we said, if you draft Tucker Kraft, like maybe in your draft with Juwan Johnson, because of just the comments that Tucker Kraft said that he might be on a snap count or a pitch count. And Juwan Johnson goes way too late and might even be undrafted in your home leagues.
Real quick on Ramondre, there's just another quote from Vrabel. They were asking
There's quotes every day.
But like every single day there's a quote. Like that's that's my
We've done like individual videos basically on the Patriots backfield that people are drafting the running back two ahead of the running back one in Trevion ahead of Ramondre, and it just has to be flipped.
Is this too low for Ramondre? I mean, he's the RB21 last year. I have an RB27, so I can't move him up too much higher than this. But like, there's an argument that he should be right next to Jalen Warren and Jadarian Price.
Yeah, and there's an argument that the Patriots run blocking should be better this year because again, it was horrible for the first like 8 games of last year from tight end to tight end. basically. Okay, Kyle Pitts is 72nd for you, Harold Fannin 73rd, Caleb Williams at 74, and Jonathan Brooks at 75, Marvin Harrison Jr. 76, Brian Thomas Jr. 77. Hey, buddies. Casey Concepcion 78, Colonel Tate 79, and Mekhi Lemon 80. I don't want to rehash our rookie wide receiver conversation because we just did it yesterday. People might say you're overreacting, though, having Casey Concepcion as the rookie wide receiver one here.
These are my top three wide receivers in the class. I had him as top 15 overall prospects across the board. I would say that by far the Mekhi Lemon situation is the best for team environment wise. And he's nearing practice. So, like, I'm not worried about his like week one status, and he's played enough football. I think that he's going to be out there in the slot to start the season. I think eventually he'll be overtaking Dontavian Wicks. And then with Casey Concepcion, he's just way more team or PPR friendly than Carnell Tate. I just read something from Easton Freeze, who covers the Titans. His note, it was just, Wandale's going to catch all the passes this year. Like, you know, I'm just nervous about how Carnell Tate's going to be utilized this year. You know, like, I think he's a good player. I have my doubts about the rest of the Tennessee Titans. And I think that full PPR, he should go lower in the wide receiver rankings. And I think that Casey Concepcion, it's hard for me to leave a Browns game without, you know, throwing him the ball like eight times.
Yeah, a scam, I think, has like negative connotation to it. Let's just say that Casey Concepcion is going to be peppered with targets this year. Yeah.
He's too good for a scam.
He's the easy button.
Yeah.
Yes. 81, Josh Downs. 82, Matthew Golden. 83, Jordan Addison. 84, Quentin Johnson. I mean, that trio of Golden, Addison, and Johnson packaged together just makes too much sense for how they're going to be utilized this season.
Yep.
Then Dak Prescott, Justin Herbert, Cortland Sutton, Michael Wilson, and Stephon Diggs are 81 through 89. Is there anyone in that group that you want to talk about?
No, it's a huge tier. And I think there's like a big difference between like the running backs versus like the next group with like J.K. Dobbins, Ja'Cory Kroski, Merritt, Tony Pollard. Like, we'll see how many passes those running backs catch this season. But we can get to like Chris Godwin stribbling too. That those round out some of my wide receivers in the top 100. There's 46.
How about I just read off those names? How about I just read off those names? Okay. Yep. So 90 is Jayden Reed. 91 is Dalton Kincaid. 92, J.K. Dobbins. 93, Ja'Cory, Bill, Kroski, Merritt. 94, Tony Pollard. 95, Chris Godwin. 96, DeShaun Stripling. 97, George Kittle. 98, Dallas Goedert. 99, Juba Hubbard. And 100, Rico Dowdle.
So you'll see how I draft a lot of my PPR teams. I get probably three running backs in the top, you know, by, let's say, Ramondre Stevenson. And then I'm a little bit light at wide receiver. And then from 76th to 96th, I have about a dozen and a half wide receivers to select from. And I get like three of them. So like I'll have like two strong wide receivers. And then you'll see my teams will be Casey Concepcion, Josh Downs, Matthew Golden, and DeShaun Stripling, and then I'll just see what happens. And that's how I kind of build my teams. So I think there's a lot of wide receivers that are about projecting the same that go pretty late in draft. So I really pepper that tier of wide receiver. And then I come back to, you know, your Tank Bigsby's and stuff way later at running back. So I kind of go running backs to start, then hammer the wide receivers, and then figure out the rest of my team.
Did you sleep on the DeShaun Stripling ranking move and move him down? I mean, I feel like yesterday you were even higher than Stripling. Maybe you came in hot and you woke up this morning, you're like, I got to move him down. I mean, I have him at like wide receiver 35. You're at wide receiver 46 here.
I can probably put him up to, I think him and Quentin Johnson, is like kind of in that range. You know, Stripling to Quentin Johnson, that's 40 to 46. I think that's about the right range.
You can
range
talk about it, but your actions say otherwise.
I know. I'm sleeping on it. I'm still sleeping. This is a tough one to get right. I do think that 96 overall gets the job done in most leagues, though. I will
say. Fair, but look, I don't want to be in the strip club by myself. It's always better when you have some buddies there, you know?
You're paying the cover. I'm there, you know? I'm there. I'm supporting you, you know? Like, I'm just not going to the back room.
I know. I'm in the back room of the strip club by myself, having him as wide receiver 35. You told me yesterday you're wide receiver 39, and here you are as wide receiver 46. What gives? You backed out on me.
Can I just eat the wings? I'm just here. I'm supporting you. I'm eating the wings.
Wow. All right. That does it. Hopefully you enjoyed Hayden's top 100 PPR rankings. Tomorrow we'll be back with an episode of my favorite player in every single round. We got plenty more content for you next week too. And if any of you have ideas, recipes, let's say potions to keep a 7-month-old from getting sick every single week, let me know. Because we're back. We're back once again. All right. Shout out to producer Weaves and Moshe behind the scenes. And all of you for watching. Hit subscribe. Leave a thumbs up. Leave us a comment too. We'll talk to you on the next episode. See ya.